Yesterday we visited Emunkach and we spoke a little bit about Minchas Aluzar. There is one particular tshuva about the Minchas Aluzar which is very crucial now in Eretz Yisrael. They have a whole crisis about conversion, about Gerus. Many times someone from the Rabbanut will convert a Nochri and they'll keep mitzvahs the first couple months. Then everything will disappear after a while. They won't go back to worship of the Nazara, but they won't be keeping mitzvahs. So this is a question. Is that a valid conversion? So the Gemara has it in that if a Nochri converted, and later he returns back to his original religion, and he worships of a Nazara, he has a din of a Yisrael Mumer. He's considered a Jew, once a Jew. He remains a Jew. And he's like a Jew who became a Mishumim. But the question is, how long is that? That means 20 years down the line, or it means 3 months down the line, or it means 2 years down the line. How long is it? That's very unclear. This is one of the big issues in Eretz Yisrael now. So there's a line, there's a passage in the Rambam, where the Rambam writes that if it's not really right to accept a convert who's converting for some ulterior motive, if he wants to marry a Jewish girl, he wants to get a job, I position in the Israeli army, if he'll be a Nochri, they won't give him my position, and so on. So the Rambam says it's not proper to convert a person unless he's converting l'shem Shemayim, unless he's convinced about the truth of the Jewish religion. What happens if he did convert such a person? So the Rambam says you wait for a while to see how things will turn out. And if later on it seems that he's very religious, so then it's okay. And if not, then if he leaves it hanging. What do you mean, if not what? He remains a goy. It's very unclear. So the Minchas Aluzar has a pshat in the Rambam. And it's a very good pshat. So a Rechigman pshat like that. He didn't say that he saw the Minchas Aluzar, but he said on his own, the same pshat. The Rambam is saying that there are two types of ger. There's a ger, and then there's a ger tzedek. There's a special mitzvah, lahavtimus hager, that only applies to a person who went out of his way, who converted because he was convinced of the truth of the Jewish religion. He's maisa nefesh to become a Jew. Stam b'koshi, a person, a non-Jewish man, wants to marry a Jewish girl, and he converts begrudgingly, and he goes to shul once in a while, and he shakes a lulav, and he goes to a seder. No. So you can't really call that a ger tzedek. That's a ger. So the special mitzvah, lahavtimus hager, only applies if it's really a ger tzedek. So that's how the Minchas Aluzar interprets that Rambam. You have to, if a person converted for some ulterior, with some ulterior motive, but then later on if he gets full of his slavos, the kedusha, to use the terminology of the Minchas Aluzar about the dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if he gets all enthused about the Jewish religion, and he's very excited about it, then we label him as a ger tzedek. Then you have a mitzvah b'haftim as a ger. But just because begrudgingly, he wanted to marry the Jewish girl, so they said, you have to convert, you have to keep mitzvahs. So he keeps the bare minimum, but he doesn't seem to be so excited about converting. So then, we will say that he's a ger, he can retire from Tarminium, but that's not called a ger tzedek. You wouldn't have the mitzvah to go out of your way to bend over backwards to do v'ahavta m'sager. Yeah, it's chayv to keep all the mitzvahs. Yeah, ager is chayv to keep all the mitzvahs. Yeah, chayv on shemosa, but the special mitzvah v'ahavta m'sager only applies if it's a ger tzedek. That's a chiddush, a big breakthrough. That too, there's a ger and there's a ger tzedek. Two different things. When we visited the Beis HaKvaris in Munkach, so some of our group noticed that they have Goyish dates on some of the more recent Matzedes, those that are in the late 1900s, the recent ones. So the Maram Shik has in one of his Juvis, he's very opposed to using Goyish dates and on Matzedes for sure he's opposed to write even in Goyish letters. Matzedes should only be in Hebrew letters but shouldn't have any Goyish dates. And he says, why? A Goyish date, what do you mean? Let's say it's 2015. Since what? Since later Sosa Hoish. That's how the Nachum write, 2015 AD, the year of our God. Anu Mitzvah. Sotah Vedizara. So he says, if you say 2015, that's like saying Avedizara. So many people are Machmer for this. They'll write a check. So they'll write apostrophe 15. Instead of writing the whole thing 2015, they'll just write apostrophe 15. is a machmer, other achareinim a machmer, that when you write a check, you shouldn't write, let's say, on August 6th. So you don't write 8/6/15. You have to write August, A-U-G. Because it says, HaChodesh HaZalachem Reish Chadoshim. Nisan is number one. How can you say that August is number 8? You're starting from January. January is number 1. That's a violation of HaChodesh HaZalachem Reish Chadoshim. Yeah, and Achanami, they're all Shemus of Avodah Zarah. They have printed a letter from Rabbi Kedeger, where Rabbi Kedeger was working on a Heter Aguna, and they had the Asedas. The Adam said they saw the man was dead and so on. Rabbi Kedeger writes Goyish dates, all the four digits. He writes all the four digits. Apparently, Rabbi Kedeger didn't consider this such a problem. But that was a chiddush. That in the Beis HaKvaris, they had Matzevis, they had the Glacier dates on them. The Satmar Rebbe was known for his position against the Medina. He and the Minchas HaMuzah were the two main antagonists, the Akamas HaMedina. And the whole thing was all based on halachic source. The whole thing was all based on the Sholosh Shvuos, that Gemara in the end of Ksubis, where the Gemara points out the pasuk could repeat it three times. Shir Hashem Heshbati Eschem Rosh Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says that the three Shvuos were taken by the Jewish people, and one of them was not to force the issue to establish a Medina. So this was the main opposition, and then the Satmar Rebbe used to say, not only is it also l'chatchila, so some Gedolim held that it's also to press the issue to force the British to allow us to establish a Medina. Once it's established already, you can't throw it out. And the Satmar Rebbe used to say, no, you have to give it back to the British. The British are not interested in taking it back. That's such a difficult position. The whole position was based on this Gemara at the end of Ksubis, about Sholosh Shvuos. So the Sholosh Shvuos is a passage in Agarate that none of the Rishonim who write halachas quoted la halacha, the Rif and the Rambam. Nobody quotes the Sholosh Shvuos. We mentioned yesterday the first one who considered it, the Minchas Halozer writes, the first Paisik who considered it as a real halachic statement was the Megillas Esther, the commentary on the side of the Rambam, who was defending why the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael, exactly because you're not allowed to establish a Medina. And so what does living in Eretz Yisrael got to do with establishing a Medina? Establishing a Medina, the Rambam did count. The Megillas Esther made a mistake, openly. That's what the Avnei Nezer said. The Rambam did count the mitzvah of establishing Medina. Muhammad Lamelech, to establish a Jewish government in all of Eretz Yisrael. If it were really true, some of the yeshiva bachim now think that it's cute to say that the Medina is Nishke Medina, and the halacha doesn't recognize the Medina. If the Medina is Nishke Medina, then you cannot be paid a Maisusheni on Israeli coins. The halacha says that we get married, we marry b'kesef, but we don't give kesef. We gave shava kesef, we gave a ring. Aminigas, we give a ring. The Ramah quotes and Zohar, we give shava kesef. Shava kesef is dinu kikesef and kol ha-terakula. Let's say when you do pidyon ha-ben, there's no halacha that says you have to give money. You can give a becher, you can give a set of svarim. If it has the value of 100 grams of pure silver, so then that's acceptable for pidyon ha-ben. The Gemara just says that there are three halachas where you need dafke kesef. One of the three, the most famous of the three, is pidyon ma'isusheni in Eretz Yisrael. It's a 7-year cycle. So the first 2 years of the 7-year cycle, and then the fourth and the fifth years are the same. You have to first set aside Shema Gedoyla, then Maaseh Rishon, and then Maaseh Sheni. So Maaseh Sheni cannot be eaten today in Yerushalayim because we don't have a Mizbeach Bonri. You can only eat Maaseh Sheni if you have a Mizbeach. So you have to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni. You have to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni. So the Halacha says you can only be paid in Maaseh Sheni if you use Kesef. Kesef means legal tender recognized by the government of the country where you are. Let's say I'm in America and I want to use an Israeli matveya to be paid in my sushane. That's called shava kesef. Israeli money in America is shava kesef. American money in Israel, that's a question. That may be considered kesef. Questionable, okay. But But if the Satmar position, if the Niturikarta position were really to be accepted, that we don't recognize the government at all and a bunch of pirates, so then you cannot use Israeli coins for the Pinyan Maisa Sheni. So they insist they use shillings. Because the Chazanish writes in a sefer, when you play the Maisa Sheni, use shillings. Chazanish wrote in a sefer when the British were controlling Eretz Yisrael. He wouldn't say today that you could use shillings. Shillings in Eretz Yisrael, they're shavah kesem. That's not kesem. So that's a bit of a joke that people say. It's really difficult. The Satmar Rebbe's position was so, the whole thing was so difficult. It wasn't really accepted. The overwhelming majority of the Gedolim in Europe did not accept his opinion. It's interesting. There were quite a few years, around 20, 30 years, when all the Bachrim in the European yeshivas used to send kashas to the Ragachava Goyim. He lived in Dinsk. So they used to send them, they used to have a double postcard. I would send a letter on a message on a postcard, and the one who would receive it would rip it on the perforation and then use the prepaid postcard to respond. He used to have it in America, I remember years ago. Pulled it on the postcard. So the Rav Chava would go broke if he would have to pay for all the postage of all the postcards that he answered. So people used to send him these double postcards. They would all ask him kashas and shailas. So the Litvish yeshivas and the Polish yeshivas, the Chassidish yeshivas, everybody would send the Rav Chava kashas. So they once wanted to get him involved in politics. So they asked him, what does he say about the Aguda? So he knew what the Aguda was. He wasn't a Fashlovina. So he wrote a shtickle Torah about Lubav Tzorech Eged. Nothing to do with the Agudim. Well, they have to tie up the lulav. Are you yoyts in the midst of lulav? You didn't tie it. The Moshe Nagamar, lulav tzarchek, and lulav in tzarchek. And somebody wrote him, what does he say about the Shavu Shavuos? He meant, what does he have to say about the Minchas Aloza with the Satmar Rebbe? They say, based on the Shavu Shavuos, that you're not allowed to establish a Medina. So he didn't want to get involved. So he wrote a whole beautiful shtickle Torah, which is printed in his name. He asked Akasha, I never took the Shavua, my grandparents never took the Shavua, we never heard in recent years that anybody took the Shavua. And nonetheless, it's binding on us. Ishbati Eschem and Osir Yerushalayim, Shlaim HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim that the Shavua was taken before his time, before the days of Shlaim HaMelech, and that Shavua is binding on all the future generations. So how come, when Yosef was about to die, it says, Hashbeah Hishbeah is Bnei Yisrael Lema Pakod Yivkod Elikim Eschem, So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Hashbeah Hishbeah, Yosef knew that his brothers would not live so long to see Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Hishbeah, she Hashbeah is Bneim, she Hashbeah is Bneim. That's why it says, Hashbeah Hishbeah, a double ocean. Yosef made his brothers swear that they'll make their children swear, that they'll make their children swear. When it comes time for Yitzias Mitzrayim, I'll take his bones. You bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. So why do they have to be Hishbiyam? She Hishbiyah is B'nayim. You see over here that a Shavua was taken before the days of Shlem HaMelech. It's binding throughout all the future generations. So how come Yosef had to be Mashbiyam? She Hishbiyah is B'nayim. So he suggests as an answer that Kodem Atan Torah, there were only individual Jews. So it was only Shaykh to have an individual Shavua. A person takes a Shavua. He has to observe the Shavua. But after Matan Torah, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Har B'Loshen Yochid, the Torah is Mitzarif Klal Yisrael to be considered one entity. It's one Klal Yisrael. So once you have a Klal Yisrael, after Matan Torah, so Klal Yisrael takes a Shavua, there's a Shavua HaTzibur, there's a Shavua HaYochid, and there's a Shavua HaTzibur. Then he quotes from Poskim to indicate that this is really true. We know that it's true. That body, right? We know that it's true because the Gemara says that a minig is binding. It's considered a neder midrabbanan. So that's nice. If I have a minig, so the minig is as if I took a neder. What if there's a minig in the kehillah to wait 6 hours between fleshiks and nilchiks, or whatever? There's so many minhagim, hundreds and hundreds of minhagim that we observe. So why is that binding on all the future generations? We never took the neder. We never observed the minig. Well, what's machai? Well, the answer is, there's a Shavuos HaTzibur, the whole Klal Yisrael, the whole Diskehilo, the whole city Munkach has a certain minig. So whoever has a Shaykhis to that Kehila is bound by the Shavuah of that Kehila. So that's what the Rav Chava responded. He didn't want to write about the Shavuos Shavuos, it was all political. So he wrote about the Shtikotara on the Shavuos Shavuos. That's the main thing the Satmar Rebbe is known for. his derech halimut was not at all. There were others in Hungary, the talmidim of the Chasam Sofer, who were way before the Satmar Rebbe, and other rabbanim there in Hungary who had already the yeshivish style of learning. Satmar Rebbe didn't have that. He had the old style of learning, like before Maimon Hasina, before Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. The old style of learning, when you mix together, I got it to Kashis and Tyrus and so on. It's not at all the analytic style. So his Tyrus are not some of Fursim in the Elamai Yeshivas. Not some of Fursim at all. They say the Satmar Rebbe has in one of his Svarim. Also, that's a difficult word. Most people don't wear tchelus. For many centuries, we haven't been wearing tchelus. So the question is, well, now that they think that they may have discovered the correct tchelus, maybe everyone should put on tchelus. So everybody throws up the fact that the Arizal is quoted, the Arizal has in one of the Svarim, that tchelus is only bizbancha beis hamikdash ha-yakayim. After the churban beis hamikdash, you don't wear tchelus. So they ask, what do you mean? That's ridiculous. The Tanoim and Amarayim wore tchelus. They all lived after the churban beis hamikdash. Most of the time lived after the Churban HaBayis. Am I right? For sure after the Churban HaBayis. How can Arizal say that you don't wear tchelus after the Churban HaBayis? So they explain, no, he didn't. He's not making a halachic statement. That's against the Gemara to say that the chi of tchelus doesn't apply shalom is man beis hamikdash. Arizal was just trying to explain historically how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a tragedy to occur that the tchelus was lost from Klal Yisrael for so many centuries. Isn't that a tragedy? How did he allow such a tragedy to occur? So he says, he tones it down and says, not such a great tragedy, because the main value of wearing tchelus is only bismancha beis hamikdash ha'ikam. After the churban, it's of less value. Why should it be of less value? How do you make sense out of the statement of the Arizal? So that's what the Satmar Rebbe has in one of his writings. He quotes a Gemara in Brachis. The Gemara says that just like we recite a special bracha when you see lightning, when you hear thunder, when you see beautiful mountains, when you see oceans and Mediterranean and so on, when you see the different parts of Teva that are so awe-inspiring. So the Gemara says when you see the Rakia b'Toharasa, a beautiful clear blue sky, so there's a special bracha that one recites. So how can we never recite it b'zman hazeh? So the Gemara says, no, after the Churban HaBayis, the sky is not the same color blue that it used to be bizman HaBayis. The whole world changed after the Churban HaBayis. So that's what the Satmar Rebbe said, that's what the Arizal meant. The whole idea of having blue tchelus is tchelus b'mel rakia. It's supposed to remind us of the Kisya HaKavod that we shouldn't sin. The reason also, the Schartim is coming to Hashem. But if the rakia doesn't have the normal color blue, it's not really that valuable that you should have the tchelus b'mel rakia, because the sky has a different color today. But in the yeshivas, in the regular yeshivas, they don't say over too much in the name of the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe was very opposed. He made a whole milchama during our lifetime. He made a whole milchama against Rav Moshe Feinstein about the artificial insemination issue. So Rukubal in the world is like Rav Moshe Feinstein said. The machlekes was going on for a while. But there are women, there are couples who can't have children. And they all relied. The consensus was not like the Satmar Rebbe. The consensus was like Rav Moshe, that it is permissible. After the Mechemet Sheshet Hayamim, and everybody was so excited that the Rebbe Shalom gave such a Siyata Dishmaya. It was unbelievable. So it was Yodua in New York. They said, the Satmar Rebbe said, that this was all nice and certain. That should not be taken as a simon min hashamayim that the Ribbono Shel Olam approves of the covenant and Eretz Yisrael approves of Tzahal. It's all the Amaisel Satan is controlled. So Rav Moshe Feinstein didn't want to attack him publicly, but they say that privately Rav Moshe Feinstein said, how can you say that? Well, the Satan is running the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in control of the world. Satan is not running the world. Interesting in the biography of the Satmar Rebbe, they write that all the money lived in Europe. He followed the Hasidic practice that they don't sit in Sukkot on Shmini Atzeres. Most of the Hasidic have such practice, they don't sit in Sukkot on Shmini Atzeres. When he came to America, he changed his practice and he did sit in sukkah. I don't know whether the Hasidim do or not, but they quote that the Satmar Rebbe changed his practice. In the biography, they don't explain what changed. So there's a Boston yeshiva in Flatbush, where Rabbi Pinchas Horowitz is the head of the yeshiva. He's a grandson, I think, of the original Boston Rebbe. So he explained to us what changed. He says when the Satmar Rebbe first came to America, came to Williamsburg, so his grandfather, the Boston Rebbe, lived in Williamsburg. So because his grandfather was already here, so the Satmar Rebbe felt it's only their heritage to visit him on Yom Kippur. So he visited the Boston Rebbe in his sukkah, and he saw on the table a copy of the Sefer by Rav Tzadok HaKohen. Tzadok HaKohen was originally a big Talmid Chacham, not a Hasid. He was a Misnagid. And then when he needed a Hetamei Rabbanim, he went around traveling around Europe, collecting all of the Hasimas of the 100 Rabbanim. So he met different tzaddikim, different Chassidish tzaddikim, and he was swept off of his feet, and he converted to Hasidus. So one of the most of the Svarim that he wrote are all in Kabbalah, all in Hasidus, heavy, heavy Kabbalah. And then he wrote one sefer, that's all halacha, to defend the practice of the Hasidim, why they don't sit in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. So the Satmar Rebbe knew that the Sefer existed, but he never saw it. He asked the Boston Rebbe when he visited him on Sukkot, he saw it on the table on the Sukkot, could he borrow the Sefer? So the Boston Rebbe was afraid to lend it to him, because he knew that by the Satmar Rebbe he had an open home, and people literally walked away with mirrors, and with silverware, and with leichters, and with svarim. And at that time, it wasn't so available. This sefer was out of print then. Now it is available. They reprinted all the svarim. At that time, it wasn't available. So the Boston Rebbe were pashut afraid to lend him the sefer. He may not see it back again. He's afraid someone's going to borrow it from the Satmar Rebbe and forget to give it back. So he said he's afraid to lend it to him. He said, sit in the sukkah as long as you want and read as much as you want. The sefer is not so big. I think it's around 100 pages long. Someone gave me a copy. Satmar Rebbe sat and he read and he read and he read, and he was not satisfied with the official explanation for the Tzadok HaKohen. That's the official explanation, justification for the Chassidish practice of not sitting in Sukkah. So from that time on, he did sit in the Sukkah, just because for so many years he never sat in the Sukkah. That doesn't matter. He had such Yerushalayim. He went through the topic now, and he sees that the justification is Shrach. So he changed his practice. From that time on, he did sit in Sukkah. That's an indication of Yerushalayim. Look, that everybody agrees. Satmar Rebbe was a big tzaddik. Everyone agrees. Satmar Rebbe was a big Talmud Chacham. Everybody agrees. The Shaila is the Shita about the Medina, and his Derech Halima is that this is not the way they think in the yeshivas now. One of the Rabbanim who lived in Satmar wrote a tshuva sefer, Zichron Yehuda. His name was Greenwald. So that non-Satmar used the sefer also. It's the regular style of Shadas and Tshuvas. It's not the old Hungarian style. It's not like the Chassam Sefer. Like the Chassam Sefer is Talmidim. Have a different style. The Maram Shik, the Nixav Sefer, have a different derech of writing tshuvas. The Zichron Yehuda also has regular style of tshuvas. He has a tshuva that he discusses when a boy becomes bar mitzvah and he puts on tefillin for the first time, does he say Shehech Yom? So this is a discussion in the classical poskim in Yerideya. You have in Hilchot, the end of Hilchot Shkita, you have the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, Yishech, chickens or turkeys, chaya or oaf. If you shech the aim, this is the mitzvah of kisei adam. If you shech chaya or oaf, there's a mitzvah to do kisei adam. So the first time that a shoichet does the dushchit, we assume that's not really a mitzvah. Not allowed to eat the flesh unless you dushchit. But kisei adam is already a mitzvah. So the shayla is the first time in your life that you fulfill the mitzvah of kisei adam, should you say shech yonu? So the shach over there has the discussion. So the shach quotes that Rashi writes on a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Ches, that the first time in your life you ever do a mitzvah, you say Shech Yonu. Rashi reads in the Gemara, if a Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the first time in his life he's makriv a korban, so he says, says a bracha shachyama. So there were poskim that said like that, but Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi. So the classical psak of the poskim was that the first time in your life you do this, you do not say shachyama. But the Zichron Yehuda, he encourages that you should say. He said the first time in his life the bar mitzvah bracha puts on tefillin, he should say a bracha. Many girls had a minute that after they get married they start benching lich. So the first time in their life that they bench lich on Shabbos, they say shafyanu. They said lahadik neshal Shabbos, they say shafyanu. Yeah, but they say that when the Gerer Rebbe visited Eretz Yisrael, so Rav Kook, I think that's how the story goes. So Rav Kook gave him some tevel and he encouraged him to do the mitzvah of Hafroshas, Trumas, and Maisvis. And he told him he should say Shachyam. First time in your life in Marfish Truma, you should say Shachyam. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. It's usually assumed that one does not say Shachyam. This Zichron Yehuda has another tshuva. He says the minig is that when you have a Sheva Brochus by Shalashudas, so even though the Shalashudas ends after Laila, after Tzeisah Kochalim, and the din is that you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, so he justifies the minig that the Chazan Kala would drink the wine of the Kais of Sheva Brachas on Matzoi Shabbos, even though they didn't say Havdalah yet. The Magen Avraham sounds like he disagrees. The Magen Avraham says that, strictly speaking, when you bench Bechas Hamas and after Shabbos Shudas, you're permitted to drink the cup of wine before Havdalah, because the drinking of the cup of wine still is a hemshech of the Shabbos Shudas. It belongs to the Birchas Hamrozen, which belongs to the Shalashudas. But the Magen Avraham says, today, since so often, it's a common practice that people bench Mizumin in the middle of the week, and they don't say benching ala kos. So we demonstrate that Birchas Hamrozen doesn't really require a kos, because we have demonstrated this all week long, that Mizalzel, really more correct is that you should always bench even Mechidus, you should bench ala kos. And certainly more so, if you bench Mizumin, three or more, you should bench ala kos. But since our practice is very often when Mizalzel, we bench Mizumin, we don't have a kos. And we demonstrate that you can live without the kos. So the Magen Avraham says, therefore, it's not right to drink the kos of Bechas Hamazon before Havdalah. So based on the Magen Avraham, poskim assume that it's not right for the Chasam Kala to drink the kos either. So the Zichron Yehuda defends that practice. He says, we don't have to follow the Magen Avraham. Usually the poskim say not like it. Usually they say, a lot of times we bench without a kos, but Sheva Brachas you never say without a kos. So since we always have a kos for the Sheva Brachas, that's considered a hemshech of the Shalashudas. In his collection of letters, collection of tshuvas, he has a letter that he sent to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. He heard incorrectly that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld participated in a convention that was sponsored by the Agudas Yisrael, International Aguda. And he attended a Knesset. So he says, but we learned together by the Ksav Sofer. How can you go to the Aguda? All the Gdolei HaTorah were all opposed to the Aguda. The Aguda was not opposed to HaKomas HaMedina. It was just pilpuling whether you're allowed to agree to the partition program. Is that considered an Avera, giving away part of Eretz Yisrael to the Nochrim or not? But they weren't opposed to HaKomas HaMedina. So he sends this strong letter. What happened to you? He sends Rabbi Yisrael. What happened to you? We heard that you went to the Aguda, Knesset. How can it be? He didn't. The whole thing was all a mistake. He has two tshuvas about the interesting topic that today people are so hung up on. If the cousin has the same name as the father-in-law, are you allowed to go through with the shidduch? So you have Tzavos, Rav Yehuda Chosid, he recommends that you shouldn't allow it. So he quotes from the Yismach Moshe that with respect to these things, Tzavos, Rav Yehuda Chosid, Yismach Moshe writes his tshuvas in the Heshem Moshe, it's enough what it says in Sefer Chasim. You have to add on more. That's what the minig was, that if the chassan or the father-in-law have two names, one of them has one name, one of them has two names, so then there's room to be bakel on that. Not mechiv to be so makbid on this. Then he has another tshuva about a related topic, and Rav Yehuda Chosid in the Sefer Chasim, he recommends two brothers should not marry two sisters. So this this is against all the Mishnayos, and we just learned today in the Dharm. Gemara Dharm quoted the Mishnah in Yevamos about Shneach Nesuim Shteach Leis. Yevamos Mishnah is about that. No one ever said that it's not permissible. So there's a little Tosis in Yevamos, but Tosis quotes that you see from the Gemara against this Chumrah, that two brothers should marry two sisters. So he says that the minig is, you should ask tzaddikim for a bracha for the shidduch, and if they give a bracha, then everything is okay. Then you don't have to worry about it. Because of the reform with the neologin, with the status quo, so he has a famous tshuva that's still relevant today. Let's say somebody was the chazan in a status quo shul, called the chayim in a neologin shul. And then he decides that he wants to be chayz of the tshuva, but he wants to serve as a chazan in an orthodox shul now. So is that acceptable or not? So he quotes the Mishnah in the end of Menachos, where the Mishnah says that for quite a period of time there was a Beis HaMikdash in Egypt where people were bringing korbanos lashamayim. It wasn't about Israel lashamayim, but it was shkut echutz. But the Mishnah says Kohanim sheshim she beis Chanyo, Kohanim who were makir korbanos in Egypt, and that competing Beis HaMikdash, that's an Issacharis of Shchut Echutz, Lo Yisham Shabai Mikdash. We don't allow them to be Makar Kapanis in the Beis HaMikdash later, even though they did Shuv. So that's his position, that's many follow that now. If a fellow was the Chazan in a conservative synagogue, it's not proper to hire him to be the Chazan in an Orthodox synagogue. It's not going to help that he says he's doing Shuv. What kind of mice is he doing Shuv? Because he needs Parnasa. He's not doing Shuv. So many years he served as the chazan over there. It's interesting, in one of his tshuvas in this Zichron Yehuda, his tshuvas are regular style, not like the Satmar Rebbe, it's a regular style. Everyone uses his normal style tshuvas. One of the tshuvas, he was sent a letter, would he join on to a hetan Meir Rabbanim? When the husband can't live with the wife is not well, the insane asylum, whatever, when you have cause for Hetamei Rabbanim, would he be mitzdarif to the additional 97 Rabbanim to join the original Bezman 3 Rabbanim to allow the husband to violate the Chem de Rabbeinu Gershom Shelo Lisa Isha Lishtoi? So he writes, he lives within Yud Beis Mil of his Rebbe, Mitzav Sefer, and he doesn't know if his Rebbe would, he doesn't see his Rebbe's Chasima on the Hetamei Rabbanim. The Gemara has a din that a Talmud is not allowed to paskin if he's within such a proximity, Yud Beis Mil, because Moshe Rabbeinu was within Yud Beis Mil of the whole Machne Yisrael, and every single person had a shayla, had to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, until Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the whole system of Sari Alaf, Sari Meir, Sari Chamishim, Sari Asara. So the Gemara establishes, based on this, that Talmud is not allowed to paskin within Yud Beis Mil of his Rebbe. So he says, he doesn't know, he hasn't heard that the Ksav Sefer was mitzdarif to the Heter over here. So he thinks he's not allowed to assign the Heter Meir Rabban. Heter Meir Rabban is Rachmanis on the husband. You have to do something to help him out. But it has to be according to Halacha. So it's an interesting approach. He has a chumrah in one of his tshuvas that I think most people today do not accept. He has, if a Jewish person rented an apartment from a Nachri, then he moves out, so the Nachri may rent the apartment to the next person, maybe a Nachri. The new Nachri is going to move and may throw the mezuzah in the garbage. So whenever there's a suffix, whether you're allowed to leave the mezuzah or not, you may be leaving the mezuzah, and amach mishen and mishtamech, the next tenant may throw it out. Usually assumed that you're mechuyev to take down the mezuzah. So he writes, no, you have to be machmer. If the practice of this nachri is that he usually rents to a Yehudi, so then you have to be machmer that you should leave the mezuzah. But it's very unclear. He doesn't write who's going to watch that. He won't throw it out in the garbage. The common practice is not like that. The common practice is whenever there's any suffix, whenever there's a reasonable suffix that the mezuzah may be mutal to be zayin, so you're not allowed to leave it. You're not permitted to leave a mezuzah but mach mishein and mishtame. This morning we were learning a Gemara in a Dorim, and we stumbled upon a topic that whenever the Bezdin makes a gzeira derabanan, we're afraid of a certain michshol. So the Mishnah says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, quoting the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, Asei Siyov LaTorah, based on the pasuk Mishmartem es Mishmarti, so Mishmeres and Mishmarti. That's the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. You have to make a siyov for the Torah. So Rubah deRubah, probably 97%, 98% of all the gzeiras in the Gemara were instituted by Pluk. Even if your generation, the chashash doesn't apply, or even if your case, the chashash that the Tanaim were concerned about doesn't apply, usually all the gzeiras were made by Pluk. It does make a difference. You're not allowed to violate the Yisad Rabban, even though the reason that, what you're concerned about doesn't apply. You have a few rare instances, few rare cases in the Gemara. One of them we came upon this morning. Whenever the reason for the Xera doesn't apply, then the Xera does not apply. So this is a riddle. This is like a puzzle. Why should it be so? The Rashba points it out. Why should that be so? Usually, even when the reason doesn't apply, the Xera still applies. So this is a Chuvas HaRash who raises the issue, and he gives an answer. He gives a guiding principle. I'm not sure what he says. The Rash was the Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, lived in Germany. And then they put the government put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison to hold up the Jewish community for ransom money. He didn't do anything wrong. They just knew that the Jews were wealthy, and he wanted a fortune of money to free Maharam Rutenberg. So the Rush was a Talmud. He was a wealthy person. He was going to put up half the money. He was going to raise the rest of the money. So his Rebbe, Maharam Rutenberg, said, famous, he said, you're not allowed to redeem me, based on the Mishnah in Gittin, that ain parim es ha-shvuyim yeser ha-kadei demeh. You're not allowed to do pigeon shvuyim. If the pirates are asking for more than the value of the person on the slave market, because the Gemara says, you just got to encourage them. You don't give in to terrorists, because if you're going to give them money, you're going to give them a lot of money, then they're just going to kidnap more people and hold up the Jewish community for more money. So Imam Rutenberg sat in prison until the day that he died. Then before he died, he left instructions also they should not redeem his dead body. That they did not listen to. A wealthy Balabas gave money to redeem the body. That was against the wishes of against the psaka of the Maharam Rutenberg. And then that Balabas, when he died later, he was buried next to the Maharam Rutenberg. That's an irony of history. So when the Maharam Rutenberg passed away, the Rush realized that he's next in line. They'll probably put him in prison to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain, and he visited by the Rashba for a week in Barcelona, and then he got a Rabbanus in Toledo, so he left. So the Rosh writes in a tshuva, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that when he came to Spain, he saw for the first time that people were wearing harbakantas, they were wearing tzitzis that was made from linen. That's a machlokes hatanoim, b'shamay b'silo. Min ha-Torah, you can wear tzitzis. You have to put on tzitzis on a garment of wool or a garment of linen for sure. If you're wearing a silk garment or a cotton garment, you have in tzitzis, that's a machlokes hatanoim, whether that's the rice or the rabbana. That's a machlokes from Shulchan Aruch, the machab of the Ramo, whether that's the rice or the rabbana. When you wear a garment, a four-corner garment that's made from wool or made from linen, that for sure is chayv in tzitzis min ha-Torah. So Beishamai hold that there's a gzera derabbanan. This is one of the six cases where we do paskel like Beishamai. Ruba deruba of the cases we paskel like Beis Hillel. There were 18 gzeras. One day, one fine day, Beishamai looked in the Beis Medrash and they saw they outnumbered Beis Hillel. So they pushed through 18 gzeras in one day. But that's not considered that we pass like Bishami against Beis Hillel, because the Bishami says the next day when the Beis Hillel came back, they all agreed with all of the 18 Zeres. There never really was a big machlekes on the Yud Ches Dov. But there were six cases, the Siddur Avraham Gaon, this is called Siddur Avraham Gaon, that we pass like Bishami in six cases. One of them is this, there's a Zera Derabbanan that you're not permitted to put tzitzis in a Begel Shel Pishta. What's the reason for the Xer the Rabban Minotar Yuachayim? The Rabban, you're not permitted to put in tzitzis because in the days of the Tanoim they had Chelis, and Chelis is only valid, you're only a fulfillment of the mitzvah if it comes from a Chalazim, which is a specific sea animal, a fish or a malas, some kind of a sea animal. And in the days of the Tanaim, there were fakers who were selling imitation trailers. There was indigo that came from a plant, which was not kosher, was not acceptable for trailers. So if you're going to put in trailers, not only a specific color of blue, the color of indigo, it has to be the string, or strings that are made from, that have trailers, have to be made from wool. So if you're going to put woolen strings in a baguette of linen, that's going to be sharpness. If it's authentic trailers, then you're obligated to put it in the trailers, even though you should have been in violation of sharpness. But if you're buying trailers from a faker, it's imitation trailers, then there was no need to have the string of wool on the baguette of pishtan. So then you would be in violation of sharpness. So the Shammai were concerned that there were so many dishonest people selling imitation trailers that they declared the Rabban, you're not permitted to put tzitzis at all. You're not permitted to put any tzitzis, even lovan, and a beggar shall pishnon. So we pasca like the Shammai. So when the Rush ran away from Germany and he moved to Spain, a new world opened up and he sees the Balabatama wearing Arba Kamfis that are made from linen. So he asked them, after a while, he asked them, isn't this in violation of the halacha? We pass like Beis Shammai that there's a gzeira d'rabbanan. You're not permitted to put tzitzis at all on a beged shel pishtan if the garment is made from linen. So the Balabatam explained to the Rush, Rabbi, you don't understand. The whole gzeira d'rabbanan only applied when they had tchelet. So you may fall in with a faker who's selling you artificial imitation tchelet. It's not authentic. But Bismana said nobody has any tchelet. Nobody wore any tchelet. So since in the days of the Gaonim already the trailers got lost. So since nobody's wearing trailers, the whole reason for the Gzera doesn't apply. So the whole Gzera doesn't apply. So this man is there. You're permitted and obligated to put on tzitzis and a beged shel pishtan. So the Rush adds on a little bit to this. And the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch explain the Taz, right? So this commentary on the tzitzis. The Rush is coming to explain, but it should still be a gzera d'rabbanan. Isn't that a dovsha d'minyan? So whenever the rabbis make a gzera d'rabbanan for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, the gzera still applies. So why is it different over here by the tzitzis and a beged shel pishtan? So the Rush says something, and the Taz says the Rush came to answer that kasha, but it's very unclear. Taz doesn't explain what he came to explain. So the Mishkenes Yankev was a Rav in Karlin. Mishkenes Yankev learned in Balozhin. He was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Balozhin, from the earliest group who learned in Balozhin. And he lived in Karlin, and he always had machlekes in with the Chassidim. Why did several of the Chuvas in his Sefer, Shadus of Chuvas Mishkenes Yankev, are attacks against various practices that the Chassidim had? As a tshuva that you have to wear tefillin and chalamoid, alpinigla and alpinista, he says it's not correct to practice. As a tshuva that it's not acceptable to use a green esrik, many chassidim insisted based on a passage in the Zohar, after Dafke use a green esrik. He talks about putting on tefillin shayat sitting down. All the Svardim do like that, so he says it's also a mistake. They misunderstood the passage in the Zohar. He has a lot of quite a few tshuvas that are clearly to attack Hasidim. So he has a whole tshuva. He talks about this topic. What did the Rush explain over here? So he says normally when the Chachamim make a gzera d'rabbanan, they have to have a very good reason, but they don't incorporate the reason into the nusach of the gzera. The Gemara says they wouldn't be mefarsim the reason until a year had gone by and the people, the public, had accepted the gzera. You're going to say, we're making a gzera, you're not allowed to carry in a karmelis, lest people will forget and carry in a mishusaram deraisa. Every time Dick and Harry will say, well, I know the difference between a mishusaram and a karmelis, so I'm a learned person, I don't need a gzera d'rabba. You're going to say, you're not allowed to eat chicken cooked in milk at gzera, maybe you'll make flesh cooked in milk, obviously that's the reason why. But we're going to be mefarsim the reason for every gzera. Then every time Dick and Harry say, I'm a learned person, I don't need this gzera. So the Gemara says, whenever they made a gzera, they wouldn't be mefarsim the reason until after a year had gone by. So the Mishkenes Yankev says, but if the gzera de Rabbanan is ba'akiras dovim in HaTorah, they're telling me not to put tzitzis on a four-cornered garment that's made from linen. I'm wearing the garment. I'm in HaTorah, I am chayiv in tzitzis. and the Rabbanan did tell me I'm not allowed to be mekayim a mitzvah deraisa that I'm chayiv in. So true, the chachamim have the authority to do that. They have the right to tell me not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, not to shake a lulav when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and so on. They have the right to. Whenever they make a gzera that's telling me to violate a mitzvah of the Torah, then they have to incorporate the reason for the gzera into the nusach gzera. So then he says, oh, if that's the story, whenever the gzera is b'akiras dogmen haTorah, then if the Rabbanim in the generation feel that the Tam HaGzera doesn't apply in their generation, so the Medo the whole Gzera doesn't apply, because the Tam HaGzera is an integral part of the Gzera. So that's what he says over here. When the Chachamim made a Gzera that you're not allowed to put on tzitzis on a Beged Shel Pishta, but I'm wearing the four-cornered garment, so in the Torah I'm chayav to put on tzitzis. But the Rabbanim they tell me I'm not allowed to, so they had to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So then if the Rabbanim in the community say that the whole Chashash doesn't apply, so the Meila, the whole Gzera doesn't apply. So that's the gear to what we spoke about this morning, that in HaTorah a girl marries a Kohen even before Nisuin. Even if they only had Erisin, they didn't yet have Nisuin, but HaTorah she's permitted to eat Truma. It's a Gzera the Rabbanim for one reason or another. And then the Gemara says, after Higiyah's man, after a year goes by and the Chassan still didn't do the Nisuin, his Chayvim is in his Ishtoi, so then the Chachonim in the earlier generation felt that the reason for the Gzerah no longer applies, and therefore the Gzerah doesn't apply. And that's because they felt that the Gzerah is Akira's Dov Menatar, because just like when a Kohen eats Truma, he says a Brocha, Shekirishon Adik Bishosu Shalar, Mitzivonu Malachivas Truma. So to an Eshes Kohen who eats Truma is also a mitzvah. Not just that she's permitted to eat Truma, she's in fulfillment of a mitzvah. She'll also say the Brocha, Shekirishon Adik Bishosu Shalar, Mitzivonu Malachivas Truma. So since the Gzerah de Rabbanan, that a Arusa is not allowed to eat Truma, is in effect Akira's Dov Menatar, so they had to have incorporated the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So then you don't apply the Klal of Davish HaDominion, even when the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera applies, no, but if it's Akira Dovman HaTorah, then they had to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So if you live in a generation where you have an instance where the Tam doesn't apply, so then there would be Mata the Gzera. It's a big, wide topic that has ramifications in many other areas. We have a Mishnah in Megillah that a Kohen who's missing a finger, or he's blind on an eye, he has some kind of a mum, the pun of Yod Veraglo, is not permitted to duchen, because he's going to get up in front of everybody and face the tzibur and say the Birchas Kohanim, so the people may stare at his mum, and then they may look at his hands, and that's improper. The Gemara says that's highly improper to look at the Kohen's hands when he's duchen. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that Bizman said the Mishnah doesn't apply. Even if the Kohen has a mum, the pun of Yad Raglav, the whole din doesn't apply. Because during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo, he lived in the 1500s in Tzfat in Eretz Yisrael. During his lifetime, they started the minig that the Kohanim cover over their hands with the talus. So the whole Gzera doesn't apply. The whole reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera doesn't apply. And that's also the same thing. In our Torah, all the Kohanim are mechiv to duchen, even those who are bali mumin. Even if they have a mum, the Kohanim of Yad HaVeragno. So the Gzera de Rabbanon was Bakira's Dovman HaTorah, to tell the Kohanim, we don't permit you to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. So they can't make a Gzera, but you're not allowed to duchen. He's mechiv min HaTorah to duchen. You have to say, not allowed to duchen because we're afraid, because we're concerned. Someone's going to stare at your hands. So once you have a minig amokim that everybody the Kohanim cover over their hands, so the whole Gzera de Rabbanon doesn't apply. Mishnah Brewer writes that when he lived in Poland, the minig was not like in Shulchan Aruch. Minig was the Kohanim would put the talus over their faces. They wouldn't put the talus over their hands. Their hands would be protruding outside of the talus. They would put the talus over their faces so they wouldn't look at their hands. But the tzibur would still be able to see the hands. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, but in Lithuania, the minig is not so. Lithuania, the minig is like in the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that the Kohanim used to cover their hands when they duchen. So then the tzibur can't see anything. Even if you look, you can look all you want. You can't see anything because the Kohanim's hands are covered. So the whole Gzeira doesn't apply. Even while Kohen has mum, the part of Yad HaVeraglav would be permitted to duchen.